Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, justice, wellness, health, freedom, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on here since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. I am very grateful and very happy that we are joined by Rich Winograd and Patty Leon. Rich and Patty are the co-authors of True Justice for All, and they're also husband and wife. Welcome, Patty and Rich, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
It's a pleasure being with you today, Marlene. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Marlene. It is quite a pleasure.
And I'm thrilled that you're joining us from Miami, Florida.
We're actually both from California. Patty's originally from San Francisco and lived her whole life there. I am from somewhere else, which I know you're going to ask me about. But I did live most of my adult life in California. So we are basically Californians. But 7 or 8 years ago, I think, we moved to Miami. We like the water, we like the palm trees, we like the weather, and it enables us to get out and do a lot of vegan outreach, that's for sure. We never have to worry about the weather.
And Rich, how did you end up in California from Massachusetts?
Well, I will say very proudly that I was born in Leominster, Massachusetts. I'd like to think that I'm a disciple of Thoreau and Emerson, and a new friend of ours, Dr. Will Tuttle, who is also from the Walden Pond area and is as good a writer as those others. So, but I do have some Leominster and Massachusetts blood in me. But I will say I was freezing there. And when it came time to go to college, I looked at the weather temperatures across the United States. And I did end up in California. But I do have a toe still in Walden Pond, and I do love Massachusetts. I actually have in my wallet, if you can believe this, a crumpled piece of paper with some excerpts from Self-Reliance that I wrote probably when I was 10 or 11 years old. And I still have those in my wallet today, all crumpled up. And what's interesting is in the last 5 years, when Patty and I have just been going overboard with searching for knowledge about veganism and its greater impact on our society, I've gone back to Emerson. And I'll tell you, if Emerson was alive today, he would not only would he be vegan, but he would be an unbelievable outreacher, an advocate for the animals. I know he was vegetarian. And, you know, back then when he lived in the 1800s, vegan wasn't even a word. But I'm positive that Emerson would be a vegan today. Emersonian individualism was all about the individual, obviously, not social conformity. And when you think about it, that's exactly what meat eating is. It's social conformity. I mean, we are lied to by the system of animal agriculture. We're lied to by our government, by the medical profession, by educational institutions, corporations, and of course, our culture and tradition. And that's exactly what Emerson was against. He was against social conformity. And for Emerson, change meant individual change. And that's what Patty and I are greatly involved in now in our advocacy of veganism. It's individual change. You know, there are many, many forms of activism, and all of it is good. So for example, you know, there are people in Washington who are going after the politicians and going after the lobbyists and wanting laws to be changed. And that's all extremely significant. But again, I'm a little Emersonian in that I want to go after the individual. And I don't mean go after in a negative way. We want to connect with people and just ask them the basic question, are your values and your actions in alignment? Yeah, so that's my my Leominster blood, and I do go back. I try not to go in the winter, but I do go back, and maybe one day I'll go back to Walden Pond with our little book, True Justice for All, and thank Emerson for his inspiration.
That's a fascinating story. Thank you. And that's amazing to have the crumbled up piece of paper still in your wallet since you were 10 years old.
I'm just sorry I lost my accent. I really love your accent, Marlene, and it's charming, and I wish I had it. Sometimes I'll try to, if I'm watching a Red Sox game, I'll try to cheer with an accent, but I just can't do it anymore. But oh well.
Thank you. Thank you. Patty, what motivated you to write, which you both co-wrote, the book, True Justice for All?
It was, I believe, in August of 2022, after watching so many informative documentaries and reading great books, we planned a trip to Watkins Glen, New York, to visit Farm Sanctuary. And we spent a couple days in the Finger Lakes region, specifically Seneca Lake. And on our drive, which was beautiful, by the way, to Farm Sanctuary, we drove by a large sign which read, "I love milk," with a large statue of a cow. And we quickly made a U-turn and drove onto the property, and behind the large billboard were thousands of cows. And it was our first time ever on a dairy farm. And we couldn't believe what we were seeing. Just, it was just so traumatizing to see how they were suffering and looking into their beautiful eyes. And as I walked closer to the iron railing, a beautiful cow approached, and I was literally face to face with this beautiful, gentle, kind soul. And we just locked eyes, and you can just see the suffering in her eyes. And I just couldn't do anything but apologize to her for all the suffering that she's forced to live, a lifetime of misery. And while we were on the dairy farm, we actually spent several minutes on our own walking around the property, just seeing these beautiful souls. And a Hispanic woman later approached us, and we had a conversation with her, and she was very open and friendly, and she was a worker there, and her and her husband also lived on that farm. And she basically told us everything that we had learned about the treatment of animals on dairy farms. And she was so brutally honest, you know, we were kind of playing dumb, like we didn't know. We asked, "Well, how do the cows become pregnant?" And she informed us that it was her husband that does the artificial insemination, which we know is a euphemism for sexual assault. And she also told us where all of the babies were being taken. So she's told us, you know, if you want to go see the babies, you feel free to go. And we were shocked that she was telling us this information, but we did find our way to the other location where all of the calves were being kept in confinement and crying for their mothers. And there were hundreds of babies there. And it was just so shocking and such an eye-opening experience to see with your own eyes, being there in that horrible environment, seeing the suffering. And so that's basically what inspired us to write the book.
We actually did make it to Farm Sanctuary after that, but that diversion, which we didn't expect at all, we literally were just going to Farm Sanctuary, that was just life-changing for us. And then when we came back, and we were just processing all of this, I just started thinking about books. And I've done some writing in the past. I've dabbled in writing here and there. Like I said, I am a disciple of Emerson. And so I said, well, a children's book is going to be tough because, you know, a non-vegan parent's not going to buy it. So I kind of settled on the age group, maybe 11 to 12 to 18, 19. You know, that generation that can truly make a difference. First of all, they can decide what they want to read. And then their brains are not as conditioned as adults are. And I kind of settled on that age group. And I just started jotting down a lot of what we experienced, not only on that trip to Watkins Glen and that dairy farm, but also Patty's writings, and Patty's contributions to the book is all of her research. So the book, True Justice for All, it is a novel. It's an uplifting story about a young girl. The protagonist is a female around 18. So hopefully someone that a young reader can look up to. And she lives at a sanctuary where her grandma runs it, and her parents live there as well, obviously. And she finds her voice. She finds through the animals her calling about veganism and about social justice. And weaved into a story, a fictional story, are very, very specific messages and information about animal agriculture and social justice. It's been well received, and we think it has a place in the vegan movement.
And could you please give more details about that with the dairy farm, in particular to confiscating milk?
Well, it doesn't matter the size of the farm. Big farm, small farm, local family farm, it's all exploitation of a mother whose body produces milk for her baby. That is why cows produce milk, for their babies to drink. It's not for human consumption. And all the exploitation and abuse, it's all universal across any size farm. It's sexual assault. It's ripping babies away from their mothers, and the mothers suffering from severe behavioral issues, having their babies kidnapped away. And the baby also experiences the same distress, not having mother around. They're babies. All babies need their mothers. And it's just the rotation of these cows and how they're forcibly impregnated against their will. This is sexual violation on an animal by the hands of humans, no matter what size farm. It is wrong.
And the thing that's so amazingly hypocritical is that humans are the only species on the planet that drink the milk of another species. And humans are the only species on the planet that drink milk out of infancy. It is absolutely absurd. And why is it done? It's done because of social conditioning, which is a nice way of saying lying. All of these industries, the dairy industry, and then backed by our government and backed by medical professionals and our educational institutions and corporations, they are all lying to the public by saying that they need dairy. It is absolutely backwards. And most individuals are lactose intolerant, especially young children in schools. And what do they have on their lunch plate? Little cartons of milk. And we all know why this is. It's just money. The dairy industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, and they are going to continue pushing their product until human beings say, enough is enough. This is a lie, and I'm not going to be duped anymore. It is animal exploitation. It is terrible for our health, and it's also bad for the environment, as we know. And until people gain awareness of the atrocity that is dairy, you know, it's just going to continue. And, you know, we hear about vegetarians all the time. And, you know, Patty and I are, we do a lot of outreach of different types, and we want to educate, and we want to make people aware, but we also want to hold people accountable. And vegetarians need to be held accountable, because if you talk to a vegetarian and say, oh, you don't eat meat. Oh, okay. Why is that? Well, I love animals. Well, wait, but you consume dairy, so you do not love animals. Because what a dairy cow goes through, or I should say a cow who is exploited for dairy. There's no such thing as a dairy cow. A cow is a cow, a beautiful sentient being. But a cow who is exploited for dairy suffers far more than a cow who is raised for beef, for meat. And the vegetarians really need to wake up, because what they are causing by not eating meat but by consuming dairy is an atrocity that just has to end.
We're listening to Rich Winograd. who, along with his wife, Patty Leon, are co-authors of the vegan book, True Justice for All. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narro in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Patty and Rich. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with vegan authors, Rich Winograd and Patty Leon. True Justice for All.
I would also like to add, people need to start asking questions. If these people say and believe that smaller dairy farming is good, what's happening to those male calves that are being born? They're being sent to slaughter. What about all the months the mother is lactating and she's being painfully milked several times a day, stealing away her milk that her body produced for her baby? What about when she's forcibly impregnated again, sexually violated over and over again until her body becomes so weak and frail that she can no longer become pregnant again because of the excessive abuse, at which point she is considered not profitable because her body can't produce milk anymore, and she's put on that transport truck and sent away to the slaughterhouse to be violently slaughtered and butchered to pieces. These are the facts people need to know when they think and believe that their small dairy farm is better than any other farm. It's all the same abuse over and over and over again. It's one and the same. So the message is, stop exploiting animals and don't drink the milk from the cow that we do not need. Our bodies do not need that. There are delicious plant-based milks available. Almond milk, soy milk, oat milk, cashew milk. There's so many delicious, affordable, and nutritious plant-based milks available anywhere.
Not to mention some great cheeses and ice cream, which we've gotten to know over the last few years. For special occasions, when we're not worried about the budget, there is nothing better than Rebel Cheese. They're a small operation in Austin, Texas, and they make the most incredible, high-end, artisanal, whatever the word is, creative cheeses. And then the other one that we really, really like, which is very, very affordable, is Miyoko's. Miyoko Shinner is just amazing. You can read about her story, but Miyoko is amazing.
Yes, she is. I had an interview with Miyoko, I think it was 2016, maybe. Yeah, she's an amazing woman, yep.
She is incredible, and we actually had a chance to visit her sanctuary, Rancho Compasión in Ocasio, California, just outside of the San Francisco area. And we were delighted. We actually brought my mom there for a beautiful Mother's Day brunch, which Miyoko had there on her property. And she prepared a delicious brunch for a group of us. There was about 20 of us.
And these are events that she does that are open to the public. We didn't go there by any special invitation, although we did bring our book, and they're using it in some of their educational programs, which is very, very humbling. But if you go on to their website, it's Rancho Compasión. It's compassion, but only with one S. If you go onto their website, or if you go onto Miyoko Shinner's own website, you can see all the events that they do. I mean, they're incredible. In addition to culinary events with Miyoko, they also do incredible educational events for children in the area. They do summer camps. They do field trips. They're an amazing sanctuary. But yeah, Miyoko does some amazing things for veganism, for social justice, and also as a chef. She just makes incredible, incredible cheese. And there's some others too. I mean, we're obviously very encouraged to see that in your everyday supermarket, you know, there are plant-based options, and you just need to realize that as Patty said, there is just no need to abuse these animals to put some cream in your coffee or to have an ice cream cone. You can get these same plant-based options without the animal abuse. It's out there now, it's available now, and it's just a matter of knowing it and saying no to the lies that we're being told and that we've been told our whole life.
And do what is right for the animals who feel pain and suffering. Extend our love to them because they are so deserving of love and respect.
Yes, I'm hoping that a miracle happens and that the small animal agriculture farmers, they receive the billions of dollars that are available to be able to transform into another type of business on their land. And of course, I think of industrial hemp, that could be huge, but it's all about money. And of course, as you know, it's all being spent on all the animal exploitation industries, whether it's animal agriculture, pharmaceuticals, military, etc. It's awful.
Absolutely awful. When we were talking about the documentaries we watched, there's obviously a lot of well-known documentaries like Cowspiracy and Seaspiracy, but there's a little documentary that we saw specifically about dairy that I would encourage people to watch. And we borrowed some of the themes for our book too. It's called 73 Cows. I would highly recommend that everyone watches. It's available on YouTube, I'm sure. The documentary 73 Cows. It's absolutely heartbreaking to watch, but so uplifting when you see what this small dairy farmer did to change his life and to change the life of his cows. So I wanted to give that plug because it was a big inspiration to us. And I think there's a lot to be learned from that documentary about the future of dairy farming.
Thank you, Rich. And thank you, Rich and Patty, for your powerful activism, for your great book.
This is absolutely a nonprofit project for us. So this was our way of giving back. And as I said earlier, to an age group that hopefully can be the generation to make a difference. But we're not profiting from the book at all. And all proceeds are going to animal sanctuaries around the country. If there are any sanctuaries or educational programs out there about social justice and veganism that would like to use the book, to contact us, and we will send copies.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you.
And it's extremely important that people understand that veganism is not a diet at all. Veganism is a principle. But now if you look at other areas of our society, and Dr. Tuttle does an amazing job in the World Peace Diet of linking what we do to animals and what we've done to animals for thousands and thousands of years with all of the problems that face humanity today. They are all linked. And that's what I think you mean by this higher level of veganism. For example, and we could get into many, many, many examples, but we were talking earlier about dairy, and Patty was describing so vividly and passionately about what happens to a dairy cow. Well, when we talk about sexual exploitation amongst humans, whether it's, you know, human trafficking of women or issues of rape. Well, where did this come from? If you read Dr. Tuttle, it came from the way we've treated animals. He talks about everything that we do to humanity, to each other, we have done to animals. The system of oppression is exactly the same, that what we do to humans, whether it's what is done on the streets of Chicago, and in school shootings, all of these horrific problems that we have in humanity can be traced back to the way that we treat animals. And there is no denying it. And there's a hypocrisy that is so deep when you support three times a day with your meal choices, violence and exploitation and abuse and confinement and torture, which you say you're against, but you're supporting it. So yes, there is no doubt that veganism is not a calling to eat better. Veganism is a calling to align our actions with our values in all areas of our life. And when we do that, and only when we do that, are we going to be able to solve all of these problems that we have in our life?
Truly, thank you. And I have to say, the title of your book is perfect, True Justice for All. And I also like that True Justice for All, you have the numerical number 4.
Well, I'm going to tell you where that came from. When Patty and I got married, she made it very clear to me. She actually bought me a baseball shirt with the number 4 on the back. And she wanted to make it very clear to me that her mom was number 1, her little dog was number 2, her cat was number 3, and I'm number 4. So the number 4 has a important message in our life.
I would have never guessed that.
Right. So when we talk about true justice for all, that also means justice for me in our marriage.
Well, I have to say that it makes the title easy to remember. True justice for all, numerical number 4.
True justice for all with the number 4. And that is also our Instagram, all lowercase, true justice, the number 4, all. And would love to hear from anyone through Instagram. And I will also give my email address. It's my name, Rich Winograd, RichWinograd, @yahoo.com. And shoot me an email or shoot us a message on Instagram about the book. If it's for an educational program or for a sanctuary, we will send copies as our donation and our pleasure.
Thank you. And Patty, do you have any other additional messages for our listeners?
With awareness and the truth, we can be who we are inside to the core. And that is being, you know, compassionate and kind and extending our love for others who feel pain and suffering and for having empathy for them. And without awareness, it's not possible for us to make informed decisions that are true to our authentic selves. Things have come full circle being vegan. It is the most powerful way to extend gratitude and respect and kindness to animals who are so deserving of love and life and to be free from harm. I hope that, you know, any listeners will just educate themselves on what's happening in animal agriculture and learn the truth, because it comes down to this. We all have the ability to know what is right and wrong. That's human decency. You know, being vegan is not enough. It's about spreading awareness to others that are believing the lies. And for the animals deserve the truth to be told. They deserve their truth to be told so people can make the connection and do what is right. And it's to be vegan.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Rich and Patty, for all you do and for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene.
Thank you very much, Marlene.
And much thanks to all the listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a great day.